All right, so we are on 22 and a half hours. I'm starting to get hungry.
People don't realize how desperate those kids are and how much they need that stuff that we take for granted.
It's the satisfaction of helping other people that need it.
But it's a really great experience. I'm thankful for being able to do this to see what other kids go through. I did do famine once before, and it's definitely really fun. You get a new experience out of every time, so don't just do it once. Just continue helping.
It's been quite a while since the last thing I made, but still craving chicken. We did scavenger hunts, and it's really hot outside, so now I'm just pouring sweat, and now I'm going to community work. So it's not that fun. It's just really hot. And it just makes me realize more about how bad the other kids have been.
I'm really sorry I haven't been here, but still, everything you're doing, I am so proud of you.
Alright, that was our famine video from this year. That was like actual footage from this year. You guys can stand up. We had a really small group this year. A lot of them were from Montauk High School. So, actually a good bit of them showed up today from Montauk. So I was pretty excited about that. But one of the things, because we had a small group, we were able to get a lot more personal. The picture with the candles you saw up there, we did a ceremony for kids around the world who were starving and dying, and each candle represented a kid, and some burned really bright, but some were going out. And the statistics this year was, I'm pretty sure it was every week, 250 school buses worth of children die. And that's just a ridiculous number, and we're tired of that. So we did the 30-hour famine this year, and it was really touching. We had kids just, that was kind of scary. Just crying and just pouring out, like, that they're making a difference. And a lot of them aren't saved, but a lot of them just got the feeling that it's more than just helping kids. We're trying to do something else here. One of my favorite parts of famine was after the candle thing, I said we would do a prayer circle for anyone who was interested. And I thought it was going to be like me and Charity and Kayla and a few other people, but I was amazed at the number of kids who came over and prayed with us. It was an amazing experience, and I'm really glad I got to be a part of Caitlin's famine. The girl and guy you saw hugging by the car, that was Caitlin, and her brother was up here, but she hadn't seen him. He actually went away so that she wouldn't know he was here, and surprised her at her famine. So that was really cool. Do any of you guys want to share anything? Nope. So I just want to thank you guys all for all of your just prayer support, and for those of you who came out and helped. We did raise a good amount of money this year through, we had a dance-a-thon, and then the actual famine itself. I know a couple people raised, I think, like $500 each. So it was a really good turnout. But, I mean, any of these missions that are here, we've just been so blessed by what you guys do. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Amen. Today's theme is called Mission, Ministry, and Spiritual Growth. And today we're going to be recognizing several groups and praying over them today. And then I'll be sharing a message to you and to them. And next up is Christ in Youth Conference, and there are 18 folks headed to Anderson, Indiana tomorrow, led by Jake and Nikki and some other good helpers there. So why don't you guys move up onto the platform, please, and share a few words about Christ in Youth Conference.
Well, the last 3 years we've had the opportunity to go to the Christ in Youth Conference. And I've gone all 3 years, once as a student in the last two, including this one as a leader now. It's a great experience. We are so blessed that you guys as a church give us the opportunity to go. It consists of, there's activities for the kids once we get there. There's worship every morning and every night, including sermons that can be physically and emotionally draining for sure. I mean, I can honestly say that all 3 years I've been hit hard at one point or another and having to check myself and emotionally check myself. Am I in the right place? And stuff like that. We've just, as a group, Tyler's gone before, Ryan's gone before, Nikki, Josie, Grace is a new one. But once they speak, they will definitely tell you that it's definitely a life-changing experience for us in general. We are just thankful as a group that you have given us the opportunity to do this. I'm going to start in the middle. Bartleby's going to start for us.
Popcorn.
Well, actually, this is my first year going. I've heard about it through everybody that actually has gone, and I'm excited because I'm getting my first opportunity to go. I've been wanting to go, but it seems like every year something pops up at the moment in time when this is going on, so I can't go. But this is the first year I'm able to go, and I'm really excited to, you know, get it, the word spread to me because that's what I've been wanting to happen over the past couple of years, and this is my opportunity. So,
okay, I guess I'll go next because I have also not been there yet. I'm actually pretty new to this youth group. I've only been here a few months, but I have to say I've learned a lot through it, and all the kids are really great, and I really developed some awesome friendships, and I'm really excited to go. I've heard a lot of really great things about the trip, and I'm really excited to just learn more about the Lord and learn to walk in His ways and, you know, just be there with all my awesome friends and enjoy my time with them.
Like TC said, it is an awesome experience. I went a couple years ago. I think it was the first time we went. I just came back. I was so excited. It was great. But again, I'd like to thank you for just the opportunity to go again.
The last two times I've went, I've just learned so much and wanted to keep going and going until I can't go no more.
I've went 4 years. I think our church went five. The first one I wasn't old enough, but I started in ninth grade, and it's been an awesome experience every year. And it's our last year for some of us to be as students, and maybe next year we can go as leaders like TC. And it's been great. We go to Anderson, Indiana, Anderson University, and it's an awesome place to just have this conference. We have some awesome speakers, and we do some fun games and tournaments and awesome worship with the band. But it's kind of cool going back every year because we start to know some of these people, and we start recognizing them and knowing some of the band members, and they know us. So it's kind of a cool experience going back and seeing the same people. But it's awesome that we can have 18 people go, just think it would be a good experience for all of us.
This is actually my first year going. I've just never been able to go any of the other years. But I'm really excited to go and be a leader. And out of the 18 of us that are going, only 4 of us are girls. So I'm super excited to spend 6 hours in the car with Brookie, Josie, and Grace. And I'm just really looking forward to it and getting closer to all of the youth kids because, I mean, I'm close to them now. I have a relationship with every one of them, and they're my friends. And I'm really excited to spend a whole week with a bunch of my closest friends. And I'm just really excited to see what happens this week and to grow closer to God. So,
let me ask you a question. Why are we here? And I don't mean at North Street Christian Church, but I mean here on earth living. Why are we here? To glorify God. Good answer. I mean, the whole reason that we are alive, the whole reason that we've been given breath is so that God can be glorified through our actions. The Bible would say it like this. Whatever you say, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, do it all for what?
Glory of God.
The glory of God. And so as 18 of us go away this week, we head to Anderson, Indiana, to, as they said, Anderson University, and we're going to go through the CIY Move Conference. This is for young adults, for teenagers who are of the senior high age and, you know, around the age of just graduating, about to go to college, a pretty important age where they know their fundamental truths, what they believe. They're going to go, and they're going to hear the truth. They're going to dig through God's Word. They're going to spend hours every single day hearing people speak. Hearing myself speak, we're going to go through, we're going to understand some of the truths from God's Word and hopefully expand the glorification that Jesus Christ gets through us and through the way that we act and through what we're teaching and through what we're learning and through the way we conduct ourselves and through the way we go out and share His gospel. We take what we learn, we give that to the rest of the world, and God is glorified through it. You know, the Bible tells us we uphold it here at North Street Christian Church. We want to be a church that goes and preaches the gospel to all nations. We've talked about this multiple times. What a fitting week to celebrate that. Our missions week. We have a bunch of missionaries coming up. You're going to hear from them in just a minute. And you know what they're doing? They're going through all of the world, preaching the gospel to all nations. They're giving it to people that aren't not just here in America. They're fulfilling that great commission. What's the result of that? God gets glorified when that's done. One of the main themes that CIY move this week that we're going to is Christ's call to be a kingdom worker. Christ has called every single one of these guys to be kingdom workers, to do their work for the kingdom of God. And so that's what they're going to be learning about. That's some of the stuff that they're going to be studying. And through them understanding what it means to be a kingdom worker and beginning to realize that, beginning to push for that in their lives, to choose their actions, to choose their choices so that the kingdom of God can be expanded, God gets glorified through that. And it's an expansion of the whole reason that we're here, the whole reason that we're alive, the whole reason that we've been created and we're on this earth. So let me just give you a quick little bit of a rundown of what's going on. This year, the theme is called Rise Up, and we're going to the end of Genesis, and we're studying the life of Joseph. And I love the story of Joseph. Those of you that know it, he was given, you know, a fancy coat. He prophesied. He has these dreams, and he tells them what they mean, and his brothers begin to not like them, and they throw him in a pit to die. Well, then they decide that, you know, maybe that's a little harsh. They pull him out of the pit. They sell him into slavery. As a slave, he does his job and he works for the Lord. He glorifies God through his slavery. How weird is that to our selfish mindsets? He then gets arrested because he's accused. Remember, he's tempted with you know, some sexual desires, and he flees from them. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Run away from those situations. Joseph, he didn't want anything to do with it, but you know what? He got accused of it anyways. He was arrested and he was thrown in prison. And as he sat in prison, and his life seems to not necessarily be that great, he seems to be going through this consistent trial period where he's been thrown in a pit to die, he's been sold into slavery, he's been accused of something he didn't do, he's sitting in prison. Through all that, God had a plan for him. He rose up. He persisted. He went through it being faithful to God's plan, and God used him. And there's a tremendous verse that's like the theme, and everybody knows it, but at the end there, as his brothers come and they're trying to get some grain, he says, what you meant for evil, God used for good. And so what we're going to do is we're going to dig through that passage. And you know what? God has a plan for each and every one of these kids and each and every one of you. And you know what? Rise up through your own little situations, what you think is horrible, these situations that we think are so bad, and we think there is no hope that can come out of it. But you know what? God can be glorified through those situations in your life if you'll rise up and live the way Joseph did. And so we're going to dig through some of that. We're going to look at some of that this week, and just pray. That would be my advice to you guys. Take a picture in your mind of these kids that are up here. Remember who's standing before you, because a key process to this, to evangelism, to growing, to furthering our own faith and edifying these kids that stand before you, is your faithfulness in prayer. Lift them up this week as they dig through God's Word. Pick one of them, remember them in your mind, and every day this week, pray for one of these kids as they will be hearing God's Word at a powerful level. And I can almost guarantee you that most of them are going to come home on fire. But I can almost guarantee you that fire is probably going to fade after that as well. So if we lift them up in prayer, maybe we can refrain that from fading. Maybe we can help them to understand just the importance of that, and it will stay. So partner with us. Thank you for the opportunity and allowing us to go, and keep us in your prayers, please.
Amen. If there are any other CIY folks, would you come up and join them? You guys stay right here and sit down, please, because you're going to get prayed over in a little bit. So just hang out. Hey, Grace, raise your hand. I did want to say Grace is a motorcycle racer. She was in a national race yesterday. She qualified, came in 18th out of 33 ladies. She didn't race against Tony Dungy and those guys that you see on TV, but they were all there racing against the guys. Way to go, Grace. So let's give Grace a big round of applause. I'm sure there's video of that somewhere. Am I right? There's probably video somewhere of that? Some of her racing, or do we know? Video? Anybody video? Oh, okay. Okay. Well, we'll watch for you on TV or something like that. So, I do want to say the group's leaving tomorrow at 6 a.m. and they leave Friday night to return home around 9 or 10 p.m. And so there'll be some early morning and late night, early morning traveling with Jake driving a vehicle and Nikki driving a vehicle. So keep them in your prayers, especially Monday morning, Friday night into Saturday morning. We are going to worship a little more, so let's stand together and worship, and then we'll get some more people up here. What do you want?
Yeah, come on, guys, stand up with us. Stand before your God.
Missionaries. About a year ago, Jesse McIntyre from our church married Jesse McAlexander, and quickly thereafter they moved to Chiang Mai, Thailand to continue in ministry, and their ministry is called Trinity International Missions.
All right, good morning. I'm Jesse, and this is Jesse, just to clarify. And we're really happy to be here today, and we want to thank you guys for allowing us to share a little bit with you. And we've been in Thailand the last year, and we've been really excited to be doing what we've been doing. We've been using media to find small projects, and I do photography, and Jesse does videography. And we're using these two things along with social media and emails to just share with people all the awesome things that God is doing over there. And so we're just really excited to really just be that bridge of communication for people as they pray and support the ministry. And we just love sharing what God's doing with people, especially when they're involved with it. And just there's just so many awesome opportunities. And one of the things that really, really got us involved and motivated to be working over there is the fact that there's 68 million people living in Thailand right now, and less than 1% know Christ as their Savior. And so for us, it's a very sobering thing. And we're surrounded by these, you know, Thai people that don't know Christ. Everywhere we go out to eat food, we go shopping. Everyone's around us, and they don't know Christ. And so we just see so much opportunity to be a part of ministry there. And we're really thankful and honored to be a part of that. And so Jesse and I have put together some things, and we are really excited to share a couple small ways that will make a big difference for people who get involved. So Jesse's going to tell you a little bit about some of those things.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So as Jesse said, over the past year, we have kind of brainstormed together and thought, what are some ways that people can get involved with missions in a more personal way? So one thing we came up with, it's called the 130 Movement. And Ryan, could you pass out a few of the pamphlets? The 130 Movement, and it's a way to kind of get people involved, like I said. And it comes from a few names. First, one U.S. dollar equals about 30 Thai baht, and which means that a dollar goes really far in Thailand. So if you are only able to give like a couple dollars, or let's say a dollar a month, a dollar every 30 days, it does make a difference in Thailand. And so a lot of you are already supporting, are giving, are getting involved with the project, support kids. You are a part of our movement, and we thank you for that. So a few ways, if you're not a part of it already, we have our general fund, which goes towards our travels, any equipment that we may need, things like that. But we also, which is getting passed out right now, our projects brochure, which we put together within the last couple months. These are just a few projects that we're kind of zeroing in on and really trying to highlight.
Most of our work is with Barnabas through the children's ministry. But we also work with other ministries as we feel that we're led by God. And one of them, we're working with a guy who is, they're doing evangelism and church planting in northern Burma. And in some of those areas, it's not always easy getting biblical teaching in, and it's a little bit more sensitive and things like that. So they've come up with a strategy of using micro SD cards, which go into phones. And so they're very easily concealable and very easily reproducible. And if you guys might recognize this, this is the SD card. And then this is a micro SD card. And this is what's going into the phones. And what they're doing is they're putting an hour-long video and three CDs explaining who Christ is, why he came, and what he's done for us. And we just talked to our contact just this last week, and we asked how things were going. And he said that he gave one to a guy, he gave it to his wife, she shared it with her family, and they shared it with a bunch of people. And just last week, 31 people were baptized. And so we really try to find projects like these. And this to buy one of these in Thailand only costs us $3. And just so the fact that we can put that powerful of a tool in the hands of people and they can share it with those around them for $3, we're just so excited to be finding projects like this. So if you guys would like, look through the projects brochure. If you can get $3, you can get one of these cards in the hands of someone halfway across the world.
And like Jesse said, we work mostly at the children's ministry, where a lot of the kids come down from the hill tribes and stay in the town at the boarding home, and they receive education, they're able to get better health care, and they're exposed to the gospel as well. And while we've been there, we've seen that their diet and nutrition has not been the best, so we have started a chicken coop over the past year, and right now we have 25 chickens, and they're getting eggs every day, and eventually they'll be getting the meat too. So you have the opportunity to buy a chicken for the kids for $6, and so that's just kind of a fun project to do.
And this last year, Jesse's parents came over, and them and their Bible study group put together some money for a project that they, you know, felt that God would show them when they got there. And we found out, we were talking to Enoch, who's one of the staff members at the children's ministry, that not all the kids have their own Bible. And they have Bibles there, but they don't necessarily get to always take them home with them. So we decided we'd go out, and we got 30 Bibles. And on average, we have about 80 or so kids. So we decided to start a Bible fund. And so we want to get a Bible for each kid. And we can get these for $10. And this is one of the newest translations they have. It's the Thai Standard Version. And we're really excited because a lot of these kids come from villages that don't necessarily have a church or an active evangelist working in that area. And in the same week that we were able to buy a bunch of Bibles, a girl from a village with no Christians in her village came to Christ. And we're really excited to be able to get her a Bible so that she could be basically the first Christian and missionary minister in her village. And so we're really excited to be able to provide tools so that these kids who are now, you know, lights of Christ shining in the darkness of the spiritual darkness of their villages. And we just thought this was such a great idea so that they can share their faith accurately with those around them.
And lastly, like many of you know, we started a sponsorship program, and it has been so fun just getting to know the kids personally. And as you guys sponsor, it's just, we try to make it as personal as possible. The kids love writing letters. They made these little crafts, so I have a bunch of them for the sponsors today, some letters. So it's $25 a month, and it's just a really great opportunity.
So we hope you guys get involved in some way. If you can't give, we would love to have your prayers. We definitely need them. The people over there need them. And we also, on the sheets that we gave you, if you, you know, at least give us your email address. We'd love to show you how you can pray and really connect you with the faces and the names and everything going on over there. And we just really want to thank you guys as a church and as a congregation for supporting us. It means the world to us, and we really feel that God has called us to be over there, and we feel so honored and blessed that we're able to serve God in this way, and that He is using us for whatever He shows us, we're happy to do, and we're just loving to see the results as we go along. So thank you guys so much, and we have a table set up in the back, and we'd love to answer any questions you guys have. We have tons of pictures and bracelets and stuff like that that we'd love to give out. And we have a video prepared, and it's basically just kind of like a highlight reel of different things we've been involved with in the last year and the different projects, things like that. So please watch that. Thank you.
Jesse, thank you so much for sharing that. And that sure puts things into perspective for us. Did you notice that motorbike with all the kids in the basket? That holds the same as the minivan. One driver, seven kids. So maybe we ought to start using those here in Pennsylvania. I'd like to have one, but I'd look funny on it. So anyhow, let's have this next group come up here. Not only do Jesse and Jesse live in Thailand, Andy's taking a group of people to Thailand this week. And they'll be there from leaving Tuesday and returning on the 24th of June. And they're going to tell you a little bit about what their expectations are. But first, they're going to sing us a Lisu song.
Yeah.
Is that correct? And if you need to correct their pronunciation or language, let them know afterwards. So,
I guess you all recognize that song. Hopefully, they'll recognize it when we sing it to them. But let me tell you, Thailand is just an amazing place. In my life, I had come here as a child, and we got away from the church. And for 30 years, I didn't go to church, and I wasn't exactly the best person. And I thought I'd missed my chance for God. That's how little I knew about God. I thought I missed my chance. But then I had a daughter. And or I should say God gave me a daughter. And I wanted her to know the Lord. I wanted her to have the chance that I thought I missed. So we came back to North Street for her, you know, to have her shot, I guess is how I put it. But little did I know, God spoke to me. And just after we came here, Bob said, hey, we're going to Thailand. This was in 94. And right away, I knew I was going. I didn't know why I was going, but I knew I was going. And while I was over there, God tore down a lot of walls in my life, walls that I had built up over the years. And he just gave me a new start. I like to say that he took me halfway around the world to show me what I had right in front of me. So going back to Thailand is kind of like going home for me, because it's where God called me. It's where God woke me up, I guess, or he got my attention, I guess. And we've been pretty tight ever since. Praise God for that. But the first time we went, Bob made us promise that we would bring our kids there. And so that's what I'm doing. That's why I wanted to take Emily. I can show them all the pictures. I can tell them all the stories. But until they smell these smells and until they see these kids and the way, I don't want to say we get in a rut here, but we get in the routine and we get in our habits. And going to Thailand is just, it's going to shake things up for all of us, I think. That's why I go back. It just energizes me. It recharges me. And it just makes me alive again. It's like I'm going to the mountain to see God, just like Moses went up the mountain. And not that I'm Moses, don't put me there. But and I'm not putting me there, but I'll just have a connection. And it's just amazing. And I just want to see what God does in these ladies' lives. So I don't know what you're all expecting, but won't you tell them a little bit about whatever you want to say.
Okay. Well, I can't top that at all. But
is it on?
I think so. No, I don't want the
Take
one.
Mine.
Okay. But I guess Thailand is a once-in-a-life experience because it's not a tourist attraction. It is a way to praise God, and the people that they said less than 1% know about it, and everything that we can do can make a difference. So I just hope that that goes through with them.
Cool.
When most of you know, my dad passed away 9 years ago. And when he was living, he told my mom that he wanted to sponsor someone to go on a mission trip. And then we found out later that we were those people. When, like, I believe it was 6 years ago, we went on our first trip to Mexico and built a house, and then 3 years later, we did it again. And it's been 3 years, and I've been wondering for the past couple of years what was next for me. I mean, I just graduated high school this weekend, and I'm wondering, well, what am I going to do with my life? And for the past year, for some reason, Thailand's been on my heart. I did not know why. And I wanted to go, and I almost got to go a couple months ago with the McIntyres, but Mr. Andy asked me to go. And when I'm there, I don't know what I'm going to do. I do know that I'm going to meet my sponsor child while I'm there, which is going to be one of the highlights of my trip, and go and serve God in a new and different way. And I guess Thailand is where I'm headed, and we'll see what happens in the future, but I know that I can honor my mom and my dad in heaven and God, and honor all of you guys who sponsored us to go, and thank you for being our support.
Ever since I was really little, I wanted to go out and, like, go to the world and do mission trips and stuff like that, but never thought I would ever have a chance because family's not the wealthiest around. And then I came here a couple of years ago, and you guys have just helped me out so much. I've been able to do so much that I never thought I would be able to. And when I went to Mexico last year, so much happened. I was like, I'm not going to be able to talk to anybody. I'm not going to get through to anyone. Language barriers are nothing. Just something that God does. We're able to understand each other. And I'm just really excited to go again. I'm going further each time. And I'm just really excited to work with the kids and just be able to reach out to as many people as I possibly can. And a lot of it's because of you guys, and thank you guys so much.
Thank you. Yeah, we... Go ahead. No, go ahead. I was just going to say, we could not have done this without your support, and we truly appreciate it. I know we had a lot of fundraisers, but we appreciate your patience and your support throughout this whole process.
Amen. Okay, you guys can sit down. And next, we have two folks from Thailand. Lisa and Atta Singh Sarakun happened to be with us both the same period of time here. And Atta's headed home on Tuesday when our group flies out. Tuesday morning, what time do you guys fly?
9:17.
What time do you fly? 11-something. Okay, why don't you guys go up? And I asked Lisa and Atta to share a little bit about, you know, their family, their father's ministry. That's Barnabas, or Vorvit is his real name, Vorvit. And also, Atta just finished Bible college, and he's going home to work with his father. Last Sunday, we had a missions meeting, and our missions department decided that we would help him out and sponsor him for $150 a month for a year, see how things go. And he wants to work side by side with his father. So, Lisa and Atta.
Well, hi, everyone. I guess some of you might still remember me from 5 years ago that I spent the years here. And I was really thankful that I have a time to spend with you guys. And it's been a very great memories. And yeah, so so today I'm going to tell you about a little bit updates about my families, how they're doing. Right now, everything's going pretty well with my dad's in the ministry. And right now, every church have a little problems, but right now we're still expanding, even though there is obstacles coming up. But right now we have about like 10 or 11 churches that is still going on, even though some of the pastors backed out. But we're juggling the minister to go around and cover up each Sunday. And the Bible college at Burma is still running pretty well, even though the government doesn't support them. So as I come over here and I realize how God can work through one man. He started by a motorbike. Actually, before the motorbike, he started all by himself walking up to the village, carrying a radio, carrying a Bible, and started talking and preaching the gospel. And after that, there was a sponsor, sponsored him by a bike. So he goes through the bike, with the bike, and going up to the village and start preaching the gospel. And later, he got a car, and he took the car with a bunch of big speakers, microphones, speakers, amplifier. He just want everybody to hear the gospel. So he drive the car, take all the microphone and amplifier, and spread the gospel. And right now we have three trucks that kind of go each different ways every day. And so it's one thing I learned from my dad is that he doesn't wait for each support to come. He goes on and work, and then God fulfills the rest. And it's just been a blessing to look back and see it's not about what he've done, but what God have done through him. As I was in Jake's Sunday school this morning, and I was like, yeah, that's right. He said it was by God's grace, and it's to glorify God, which that's all his life. That's all my dad's life, to do whatever he can to glorify God. And some of you, if you spend some time with my dad going somewhere, you'll notice that he would just run off talking to a random person for like a 15 minutes. And after that, he would come back and have a big smile on him, and he would say, "We just got a new convert." And it just surprised me how things, like, just how God works in different ways. And yeah, every time I talk to him on the phone or whatever, he always talk about his ministry. I just ask, "Dad, how are you?" And he just goes on and on about what he does in the ministry. And he would always share with me about his experience with a new convert. Like, and with the church that had the pastor backed out, God didn't left the church, because right now we just got a new convert to that church, even though the pastor wasn't there. So it kind of struck me that the pastor wasn't really the main of the church. God is the center of the church. Even though there's no pastor, God is still there. There is still Christian. There is still believers. There is still light in this world. So I would like to thank you all for the for helping out, for supporting financially and emotionally, spiritually, because right now North Street is sponsoring all the ministers that help, that is working with my dad, and so we are really, really thankful and appreciate all your help and all your encouragement, and we are glad to know that we're still in your prayers all the time. So thank you very much.
Hi.
Oh, it was loud.
You guys probably know, my name is Tuichai, or American would call me Ata. I already forgot who come up with that, but yeah, someone give me an Ata. My dad always tell me that if you are faithfully work to God, and God will be faithfully work, will be faithfully to you. I think that's the main thing wherever what drives him do what he's doing till today. He loved to tell me a story of how he would go up on the hill on a dirt bike, the brand new one, and like go around wandering around every villages to tell the gospel. And there's just so many exciting stories that I wish my dad still have some more time to tell me those stories. And when I think of that, I just really like that my dad has really, like, I can see in his life that this is what happened when you give full life and work to God faithfully. This is what I see in his life. And that's one of the reasons I decided to come to America to Bible college, to go back and help him out with this. I'm not going back to Thailand and work on this area just because he's my dad, he's pastor, but I also see from his life, I also learn from it, I also see from my eyes. When you guys, you know, Americans say like, I see, you actually, you know, like the concepts, like I see it, understand it. But in Thailand, we say we understand, but I think this is a good way to say it. So now I see it. So there's one night I prayed, and then I wanted to know which area on the mission in Thailand I want to work. And I found out that since I've been around with my dad so much, you know, I'm his son, so then I know so much that people have really different thought about, you know, the perspective, the worldview. That's why it's so hard for them to get to know the gospel sometime, because there are a lot of Buddhists, you guys know, like the Buddhists, and Buddhists believe in the, you know, cynical life, you know, like, if you keep building up good and whatever deeds, and you will get like really good life, that is not right. That not just because I went to Bible college, but I really compare like the belief of the Buddhists, other and all the cultural, like, you know, religious the classes I took, and religious comparison, some of those names, sorry, I was kind of nervous. And I really found that that's not right. That's not how you would live your life. Like, that's not like, it's not fair. That's why I have heart when I tell them to people in Thailand that this is not right and it's not fair. Like, basically in Thailand, if rich people have more chance to do deeds, so it's not fair to other people that not like don't have money to do this or to give money to help people. So it's not fair. But the Bible, this is right. There's no way that human can, you know, clean their sin by themselves. There's no way. So deeper I learn about the Bible, and I really have more like firm belief of the Word of God that this is what I should go to tell them. And also is that you guys already know, and now today, teenagers is more like complicated than back then. And I plan to go in Thailand and build up the more like make a stronger bond within the youth group in the church in Chiang Mai, or the Lisu, or somewhere else. I want to do anyway that I can tell that they can sense me that I actually care for them and want them to actually know the Bible and read this and study about this. So I decided, and obviously he really needs a driver, so I think I'll be my dad's driver. And so even though I learned a lot of things about the facts, you know, like facts about Bibles and scriptures, but he has lots of experience, like hands-on experience. So that's what I plan to is to be under his command. So like, okay, this is what you I want you to do and to learn. So I used to be like a really like kid that doesn't want to listen to anyone, but now I feel like I'm more mature now. They're like, oh, I know why he does this. So many times kids don't understand why parents do that because they're not there yet. So I'm kind of almost there now. So I'm kind of like, I'm getting to that point like, oh, now I see why, you know, that kind of thing. So that's what I'm going to do when I'm going back to Thailand this coming Tuesday. So thank you guys.
Amen. Okay, I'd like to have our elders come forward, and Atta, if you just stay right there, that'll be a good place. You can just sit right there, okay? And the rest of you guys get on your knees, okay? And Chuck Kilby is going to pray over our CIY folks. Matt Eckert's going to pray over our Thailand short-termers. And TC, if you'd go ahead and come over here, he's going to pray for Jesse and Jesse. And then once they're finished, Barnabas asked that if our elders in our church would pray for Atta as he departs the U.S., and next Sunday, the church in Chiang Mai will be praying over him also. So that's what we're going to do now. So Chuck, we'll start with you, okay, if you would pray.
Here, I was thinking this. Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." So for CIY, for Jesse and people going to Thailand and Atta and the rest, that's what we're here for, that to bring forth the true kingdom, the eternal kingdom. And we can live for the other kingdom. But we're sacrificing, truly laying our life down for the sake of others, that they may go forth for the gospel of peace. So I'm going to pray for a CIY. Father, we just thank you first off for all those who have imparted, Lord God, their lives to these people, that already set up a memorial for them. They can look back in their Sunday schools and in their preaching and teaching of the gospel here to church. And Lord, as they go forward now, according to your will to CIY, Lord, they have another memorial they can look back and say, this is when I was anchored to the rock even in a deeper way. Father, there'd be deeper commitments. There'd be deeper servanthood, Lord God. They would indeed, Lord God, see the plight and need of the poor, even as your son Jesus did. And Lord God, you say in your word, who shall ascend to the holy hill? He who has clean hands and a pure heart and did not lift their soul up to vanity. Father, that they put their hands to work for your kingdom. They put off, Lord God, the vanity and the frivolous things of this world because they believe in you. And Lord God, your word is true. And Lord God, they'd have pure hearts. They would not be mixed in with the world, Father. They would live for the eternal kingdom, not this fading light that's gone away. And Lord God, through that, their joy would be made full. And Lord God, they would not lift up their souls to vanity. They would not give it unto the things of the world that mean nothing. They would not love the world. Indeed, Lord God, they'd hear the joyful sound of your son Jesus, Father, going forth for the needs of others, that they may have treasure in heaven. But the Lord says, seek not the treasure here on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves come in and steal, but seek the treasure which is forever. Lord, they'd have eternal purposes, not for a fading world, but for an eternal reward. Father, like Abraham, Lord, he said, walk blameless before me. And there's promises, Lord, that they would have a blameless life dedicated to you, totally surrendered to you. And Father, that like Abraham, he looked for the reward. Father, that they have treasure beyond their wildest dreams. Father, we pray for them, for it's not by might. It's not by power, but by your Spirit, says the Lord. And Lord, we're asking that your Holy Spirit would go beyond what they ask or think. And Lord God, that in their lives, they bring a fire. You would bring a fire into their heart, that they may be a fire into other people's heart. Wherever they walk, the fire of God, your presence would be heavy upon them. And Lord God, people would see a changed person. They desire and thirst and hunger after you. For they drink from your river and put off the polluted rivers of this world, the lie, that brings death and destruction and disappointment and never a fulfilling life. For we're only satisfied in you, for you perfectly love us. You have a perfect plan for our life. Lord, they be knitted in to the tapestry of your word, of your purpose in their life. Lord, they drink abundantly from your river, come to your banqueting table. And Lord, they lack nothing. Lord, as they would wait, Lord God, and your promises come forth, Lord, when they do come forth, it's beyond the riches that this world could ever give. Lord, they come to you, Lord, to have the most exciting, exhilarating life beyond their wildest dreams or imagination. Father, in you we live and move and have our being. And so, Lord God, we pray that you give them the spirit of revelation and the wisdom and knowledge of God, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. Lord, you would strengthen them by the mighty spirit in their inner man. Lord, we just ask you to bring forth in their life signs and wonders as your Holy Spirit goes into their life a deep way, that they would bring forth, not just by word, but by power. For the kingdom of God is not by words, but by power. There'd be manifestation. You would manifest yourself before him, even as Jesus said, I will manifest myself. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for those who have given him opportunity to be raised up in this most holy faith. So we bless your name. We are exhilarated. And all of us here, Lord God, want to be a partaker of the glory by contributing to them, by praying for them. And Lord, we too want to be ones totally surrendered to you. So, Lord, bring forth now the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for the teachers, a great abundant anointing. We pray for these children, not children, young men and young women, that they would indeed, Lord, be arrows hidden in your quiver for such a time as this. That, Lord God, they'd come against the enemy. And you say the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, that they be arrows slung at the enemy to pull down their strongholds and their lies. And indeed, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, that we all here, especially these young men and women, would behold your wonders. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to be praying over the Thailand group here, Andy and the girls here. So please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for Andy and this group that is willing to set aside time in their lives to have the privilege of ministering the gospel. And I just lift up this group to you now and ask that you would use them for your glory. Lord, it's a sobering thought about how many people in Thailand do not know you. And so we pray that during this trip, that your name would be exalted and that people would be drawn to know why this group of Americans is there, and that their hearts would be drawn unto you, Lord God. I thank you so much for Andy and for his servant heart and for how this is what he wants. This is the focus, Lord. And I just pray that you would uphold him as the leader of this group, that you would put things on his heart, even in transit, while they're there, that you would give him strength, that you would give him energy, that you would give him focus and drive, and help him to know what decisions to make when he's faced with decisions, that you would give him your wisdom, Lord God. I pray that you would just bless the team and help them to be as one in you. Help them to be focused on the task at hand, Lord God. I'm so thankful for these young people, Lord. They've been in school for 13 years, and they just graduated, and their summer is wide open before them, and this is what they're choosing to do, Lord God. Above all other things, they want to go and serve you in halfway around the world. I'm so thankful for what you're doing in their hearts, Lord God, that this is there. And I pray that you would bless them and use this in their lives in a great and mighty way, even as you use them to do your work over there. Lord, I pray for safe travels as they'll be on planes for a whole day. Lord, it's just an awesome witness opportunity to be stuck with people. They can't leave. It's an opportunity to share your message, and I just pray that would be made use of, even as they'll be tired and worn out. I pray that you would make use of that time even to spread your word. And I pray that everyone that they come in contact with as they go on their trip, that you would use this for your glory, for the building of your kingdom, that your name and that would be glorified, that your cross would be lifted up. And I just thank you for this team and for all the resources that have been pooled together to be able to send them. It's all yours. And we know that when a trip comes together like this, that you are the one behind it. And so we praise you and thank you. And we lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to be praying for Jesse and Jesse. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I lift up Jesse and Jesse, Lord. What a blessing they have been to our church and to Thailand. Importantly, Lord, what a way you are showing your great works through them, Lord. That's definitely the definition, Lord, of workmanship and under you, Lord. I pray that you keep giving them the strength to do what they're doing over in Thailand through little things as an SD card and an hour-long video. That's amazing how you're working through them and the video itself, Lord, to give people the opening to accept you into their heart, Lord. 1% is an amazing number, Lord. That is horrible. Horrible. There's no reason why one part of the world should be even open to that and then another part be totally closed off from that. There's no reason for that, Lord. I pray that Jesse and Jesse can be the difference, Lord. I pray that you continue to work through them and the SD card, Lord, to be the door opening to you entering their hearts, Lord. I pray for the kids at the ministry home who Jesse and Jesse work with, Lord. I pray that I can still be the light to that. Lord, I pray that they have safe travels home, Lord. When they go back, yes, they may be weak when they get there, but you say that your strength showed through our weaknesses, Lord. And that is such a blessing, Lord. We don't have to do this on our own. Jesse and Jesse don't have to do this on their own, Lord. You will be there right behind them, guiding their way, Lord. And I pray that they can be the light in this darkness in this world and be ready for this battlefield that we call the world, Lord. I pray that they can continue to strengthen their ministry. Lord, they've only been there a year, and they've already strengthened this ministry enough to where they saved 30 people, Lord. Hopefully they can change that 1% to maybe 2%, 3%, 4%, 5%, and so on and so forth, Lord. Any kind of difference would make the difference in this world. One can save another. Two can save three, Lord. It takes two in prayer, Lord. I just pray that they continue to be strengthened through your word, through your works, Lord, that you can continue to lead them where you want them to go, Lord. They wouldn't be together if it wasn't the plan, Lord. This is all in your plan. This is all made to happen. This ministry is made to be here. You have a plan for this whole entire thing. It may not be clear yet to Jesse and Jesse. The obstacles may seem like there's no reason why this should be happening. But it's all in your plan. It's all going to work out if it's for the glory of God. Everything we do is for the glory of God, Lord. I just pray that you strengthen them as they go home and into the battlefield again, Lord. What a blessing Jesse and Jesse are to us, and what a blessing you are to us every single day. In your name, amen.
Amen. Lisa, would you come stand behind your brother, please? And men, if you would come. And let's each pray a prayer for Atta and Barnabas and the ministry there in Thailand. So, Andy, why don't you start?
Father God, we just thank you for the life of this man and this woman sitting here before us, Lord. And just as he's told us, Lord, how he has was kind of indifferent to the ways of his father and the work of his father, but he has grown and he has seen the value in what his father does. And just as he's seen that and understood, Lord, we pray that he would grow and understand his heavenly Father more and more, Lord. May he grow into who you've made him to be, where you've led him. Just take him back to this land and just let him continue this work, pass it down to the next generation, I guess, and just strengthen him and convict him, Lord, that the opportunity there is just so great, and he can make a difference, Lord. I just praise you and thank you for his work.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for both Atsai and Lisa and Lord, and just their work here that it was accomplishing. But Lord, as they go back home, Lord, we know you have bigger plans for them. And Lord, we know that they're going to be used to your glory. And as Atta just makes a connection to the youth over there, that just open up the word to them, Lord. And we know it starts with prayer and studying the scripture. And Lord, we just ask you that he just continues to grow spiritually. And Lord, that he learns from his dad. And Lord, as he travels through all the different villages, Lord, that that he makes the connection that they might know you through him, and that the seed is planted, and just use Atta in a mighty way, that and give him the strength that he needs, and through the trials and tribulations that he will come before, Lord. But we know through you that he can overcome them all, and I just pray for him and just his the future, and where you'll be using him, and also with Lisa, and just where you lead her, and just the plans you have for her, and we know every step of the way is going to just be directed to you. And I thank you for their lives that they have led and continue to lead, and for their future. In Jesus I pray.
Our Father, we ask that you would fill Atta with your spirit. Father, give him wisdom and strength, guidance. Father, fill him with the love that motivates and the faith that moves forward, the faith that overcomes the world. And Lord, might it be written of him that he grew in stature and in favor with God and man, that his testimony, Lord, would constantly be pure, that there would be no hypocrisy in his life, that as he returns to his Father, there would be a strengthening there, there would be a unity, a oneness, and a wholeness, not just between he and his Father, but in the whole family with his brothers and his sisters and the return of Lisa. That, Father, your presence would dwell in their home. And also, Lord, that when they would go forth, there would be a glory about them. There would be the manifestation of the presence of God as they enter a village. And as the word is preached, that the word would come forth, spirit and life. And, Lord, would pierce hard hearts. And, Lord, bring many to faith. And, Father, that Atta would continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of who you are. And, Father, as you lead him, as you open his eyes, to see what the future may hold for him, may he not be afraid to take the step, Lord, of faith, the step that may lead out, you know, away and into a place that, Lord, is unknown, but that you have prepared for him. And, Lord, that he would come into all that you have, that all that you have planned, all that you have prepared for a young man who enters the ministry. And so, Lord, be glorified in his life and in the ministry in Thailand, I pray.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Atta, and Lord, it's my prayer as he starts this new journey and new chapter in his life, Lord, that you've promised us if we commit your way into the Lord, you'll establish his way, Lord, and I just thank you for his honesty, and that, Lord, there's times when all of us don't get it and don't see it, but we thank you for your spirit opening his eyes, and Lord, I pray that the giftedness you've given Atta, that Atta will be Atta. And Lord, you will use him as you've knit and put his giftedness through your spirit and through his own life, Lord, and his own experience, that Lord, that he will, his desires to identify with those young men and women that don't get it. And Lord, I just pray that you will use him through that ministry with Barnabas. And certainly we thank you for that. May he have a thankful heart in realizing, Lord, that it's only by your grace. And Lord, we just pray that there's a church and there's a ministry here and those around them and that congregation there and here, that Lord will be an encouragement to him, Lord, certainly, because there are times, Lord, when he'll be weak. And Lord, I just pray by his faith and just while those around them, he'll walk in your strength and realize, Lord, it's through your grace and mercy that we live. And Lord, what a neat thing to be able to do to all of us is to share the good news that, Lord, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I just pray that message will be loud and clear, and that he won't be ashamed of the gospel. And so many times that he'll be faithful to it, Lord. And again, I pray that we'll be that encouragement. And we just thank all of these things in your holy name.
And Almighty Father, we come before you today and lift up the entire St. Sarah Coon family. And Lord, I know they're with us in spirit even now. And it is not our inkling, Father, to imagine that a mantle is being passed just yet, but one day may be. And we know, Father, that your ways are not our ways, your thoughts are not our thoughts, and your timing is not our timing. But today I lift up Atta Singh Sarakum, and I lift up Barnabas Singh Sarakum as a father and sonny, and son will become a teammates in ministry. And I thank you for the spirit that Atta shared today, that he's going to be a student and a servant to his father, and that, Father, you would use Barnabas in every way to instill within his own son's life the love, the urgency, the desperation, the joy, Father, in the gospel. And I pray for open doors of ministry, and Lord, I pray for a stronger partnership between Trinity Gospel and Trinity International Missions. Father, we can just see smatterings of how, Father, you have them all there for the same reason, but it's bigger than any of us could ask or imagine, just like your word says. And so, Father, we just thank you for the non-man plans that have put us where we are today. You are ever faithful. We, Lord, want to be faithful day by day, moment by moment. We live by faith and not by sight. There's no way, Father, that any of us got where we are today by our own plan or talent. We're managing well. Father, you are a God who opens doors that would be closed otherwise. And so, Father, I pray for Atta, I pray for Lisa, I pray as they represent their family here. I pray for provision, Father, for this church, that we would be faithful with the things that you have already provided, that we wouldn't hide our light under a bushel, or, Father, the things you put in our hands to use, that we would hide them behind our back. And, Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would bring us all into strong accountability and increase our faith. Use this young man according to your will. Make it clear to him, to us, to his father, just how it is, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Okay, everybody come please and be seated. And if you'll just give me a few moments, I have some things from the Lord I'd like to share today. And then we'll receive the Lord's Supper together. I do know that some of you are here for both worships, and if you need to leave or someone does need to leave, no hard feelings. If you stay, let's tune in and receive from the Lord. So, John, if you'll start that video. Today's, or my slideshow. Today's theme is mission, ministry, and spiritual growth. And I didn't plan it. The Lord planned that as far as I can see. When the mission came, I knew that Trinity Mission would be here. Jesse and Jesse. Trinity Gospel represented by Atta and Lisa. And then the Thai team, this is the last Sunday, they'll be here before leaving. And then World Vision had the famine last week. And I thought, what a wonderful theme that God chose. Ministry. Jake and the leaders at CIY will be going out doing ministry this week. Jesse and doing their mission do ministry to people. Atta will be doing ministry, and our short-term Thai team will be doing ministry. And then spiritual growth. I had in mind the CIYers, the mission travelers, and the famineers that just completed. So let's talk about the mission first of all. I have a verse for each group. The mission verse is this, Mark 16:15. It says, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." Very simple. If you are a missionary, if you're going on a missionary trip, here's your verse. It says, go into all the world and speak to the whole creation. And so we realize that's a very simple but clear call. ministry. This is to Jake and the leaders and the others who are going to do ministry. Here's your verse. It comes from Psalm 71, verses 14 and 15. It says, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all day long. Somebody that steps out into ministry who is not prepared in the heart will not work for God. And so the psalmist says, my hope, Lord, is in you. When you're in the ministry, sometimes you have to check yourself. There are times I ask myself, do I really believe what I say I believe? And the answer is yes. Yes, I really believe it. That's why I keep saying it. That's why I keep preaching it. But you see, our hope turns to praise, and we outwardly praise the Lord with song and with His Word. And then we have within us then that growing that says, now go and tell. Go and tell of the righteous acts and the deeds of salvation of God. And so to the ministry, folks, here's your three words. Hope, praise, tell. And then spiritual growth. This is to the kids that are going to CIY. This is the people who do ministry and grow in ministry. This is to the mission travelers and to the famineers. Here's your verse. It comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And it says, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding with thanksgiving. And for every one of us, here's the course that we take as we grow spiritually. First, we receive Christ. And I would say to you, if you're headed somewhere to grow spiritually, if you're sitting here at North Street, the very first thing is, have you received Christ? If you don't know Christ, you can't expect to grow. It'll simply be a false growth. And having Christ in our life, or us receiving Christ, causes us to walk in Him, has us to be rooted and built up in Him, where we become established in the faith, and then our lifestyle is one of thanksgiving. So that's how I would say we can put some words to missions, ministry, and spiritual growth. But as we do, I have four, I guess I would say, words that were laid on my heart to share with everyone today. So if you're involved in missions or ministry or growing spiritually, first of all, hear this. God looks at the heart first. God is not a respecter of persons. The first time I heard that, I didn't like it. In fact, I disagreed with it in my mind, in my heart. And then I came to understand more about what that meant. See, I was taught to be respectful, weren't you? And I was taught to be godly, weren't you? And I thought God and respect went together. And if God expects me to respect people, that's what I was taught, then God certainly would respect people. But then I came to find out, here's what that means. See, if you're in the mission field, if you're in the ministry, if you're growing spiritually, here's what it means. It means that God is not impressed with people. He doesn't regard you like you might regard someone with a doctorate or someone has a title before their name or somebody that's wealthy. He sees us all the same. And so God does not care about your looks. God does not care about your wealth. God does not care about your rank. God does not care about your education. He doesn't care about your talent. He doesn't care about your coolness. He doesn't care about your background. He doesn't care about your family name. God looks on the heart first. The book of Psalms, Psalm 51, says this, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. And the Beatitudes begin with, blessed are the poor in spirit. So I want you to understand, in mission, ministry, spiritual growth, unless you're broken, you're not useful to God. God cannot use you if you're not broken, and He only uses broken people. Sometimes you're in your own way. So understand this, God looks at your heart first. Secondly, understand this, God often uses the least likely, like David the shepherd boy to become the king, like Rahab the prostitute to save the Israelite spies, like Moses the murderous stutterer to lead Israel from bondage in Egypt, like Saul the church hater to become the greatest of apostles. Remember this, in the kingdom of God, the last are first, the least are the greatest. In the book of Judges, Gideon said, but Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. And God's answer was, I will be with you. That's how we can be useful to God. He often uses the least likely. Andy, as you travel, Jake, as you lead, Jesse and Jesse, as you continue to minister, Atta, as you go forth, realize this, the leader's often surprised by the person that God uses to teach him or her a lesson. He always picks the least likely. He always picks the one you think could not do anything for the Lord. And he's the one or she's the one that God says, I have a message for you from him. So pay attention. And for each one of us, you see it like God sees it, knowing he chooses the least and the least likely. Thirdly, as you go forth, remember this, faith is not optional. Our faith goes wherever we go, or better said, we go wherever our faith takes us. When I say faith, I'm not talking about our doctrinal beliefs. I'm not talking about what you believed when you came to Jesus. I am talking about the everyday faith that we wear. A biblical faith throughout the Bible is shown as one that is capable of flowing. It proceeds easily and smoothly, taking the shape of every opportunity and taking the shape of every trial. Our faith for each day is fluid and not static. It's available, it's pliable, it's graceful, affording the change that life brings about. Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The Bible said God says that God is not like a father who tricks his children. See, God is not like a Santa Claus in the sky that just passes out gifts. That God is a Father in heaven who blesses the faithful lives of His faithful children. And sometimes His faithful blessing is a surprise to us just how He intends. But your faith will take you through every opportunity and through every trial. And then lastly, listen, the God whom you serve, He is the God of the impossible. Whenever the angel announced to Mary, you'll have a child, she said, how could this be? And the angel said, listen, you know, Elizabeth, her cousin, was elderly and going to have a child. Mary having a child was an amazing thing. Why? Because she wasn't married. More than that, she was a virgin. How can this be? And the angel said, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And so understand, you could look at that two ways. If God is at work in your life, nothingness is impossible. If you think the faith is about staying in the same place, never moving, never changing, never going, you see, nothingness is impossible with God. But we also see that God can do anything. In fact, the CIY group, one of the original sayings of the Christ in Youth Conference was this, praise to Him who specializes in the impossible. That's God's business, to take impossible situations. Whenever Jesus spoke to the rich young ruler and he walked away, and the word was said, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to go to heaven. The disciple said, well, Lord, then who can be saved? And Jesus said this, with man, this is impossible. But with God, what? All things are possible. So I just say to every one of us, know God's looking at the heart first. He often uses the least likely. Faith is not optional. And our God is the God of impossibilities. So if you're in the mission sense, okay, it's in all the world to the whole creation. Ministry, hope, build up that heart. Praise and tell. And if spiritual growth, receive Christ, walk in Him, rooted in Him, built up in Him, established in the faith, abounding in thanksgiving. And that's why we pray today for mission, ministry, and spiritual growth.